Open your Bibles with me now for our sermon to our text, Luke chapter 8. Continuing in our series through the Gospel of Luke. And we're in Luke chapter 8, and we're concluding this morning this section in which Jesus is teaching on hearing, the importance of hearing, the fact that some don't hear and some do hear, what we're to do when we hear, the blessing of hearing. We'll be looking particularly at verses 19 through 21, and the stress will be placed upon verse 21 and Jesus' answer there to those who tell him that his mother and brothers are outside. But for context, we'll begin reading in Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, and we'll read through verse 21. As we approach God's word, let us first approach him in prayer, asking his blessing upon the reading and preaching of his word. Let us pray. God, this is your word to us. You have, by your Spirit working in men, given it to us. It is breathed out by you. It is without error. It is to us that guide unto salvation, that way in which we see the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, lead us to him through it. Encourage our hearts by it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beginning our reading then in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, hear now the word of our God. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. Then his mother and brothers came to him, and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Prior to becoming a pastor, I worked for 13 years for a nonprofit organization. This nonprofit organization specialized in adoption, and also foster care. And I can tell you, it's difficult to see children bounce around from house to house to house, never having a permanent place to call home. So it was very encouraging when we were able to give them what we called a forever family. Hopefully with their biological family, get them back with them. But sometimes that wasn't possible. So we would place them with a family, and on that day when the court came and adoption court was happening, and that child, and seeing even videos of that happening, when the child understands that they are now part of this family. This is not a family that they're going to have to leave in a few months. This is a forever family. And it was a joy to be a part of that, to be part of an organization that did that. As I reflected upon this and I thought about what I do now, I realized that I have an even greater privilege as a pastor. I do. Because I'm calling people not to simply an earthly family. I get to call people to come to Christ and become children of a true forever family. A true forever family. The eternal family of God. What a privilege that is. And I want to know, are you a member of this family? How do you know if you're a member of this family? Are all people members of this family? No. Jesus says there are those whose father is the devil. They do his will. Not all men born and women born and children born are members of this family. But if you are, you will start to take on a family resemblance. You will start to take on a family resemblance. You will desire to hear the word. You'll desire to obey the word, however imperfectly you do so. Your desire may not be the same strength all the time. Your obedience certainly is going to be that imperfect and weak obedience. But if you do not desire at all to hear the word of God, if you do not desire at all to obey the word of God, if you do not desire to receive the word of God, all of it, what true faith says. True faith says that you believe everything, all that God has revealed in his word. If you're not desirous to do that, then I want to ask you the question. I want you to consider this question in your heart this morning. Am I a member of God's true family? But if you do love God's word, if you do desire to hear it, if you do desire to study the word of God, if you do desire to obey it, if that is your will, then I want you to be encouraged. Because what Jesus says here is that you are demonstrating that you belong to him. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are part of his true family. You're part of a forever family which you will never have to leave. What an encouragement that is. And Jesus here, as I mentioned earlier, is concluding his teaching on hearing the word of God. He has already taught us, those who were present there, his disciples and the crowd, he's taught us that not everyone is able to hear. He says in verse 10, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. It's a spiritual work in us that enables us to hear. He goes on to say, some who hear it are like those by the wayside, who hear and the devil comes and immediately takes it from them. Some hear it and it falls on that rocky soil. It springs up, but quickly it's gone because there is no root. Some hear it and start to grow, but it grows up with thorns, the cares of this world. They choke it. It's unfruitful. But there are those who hear it, that soil which is representing that heart that is a good and noble heart, who keep it and bear fruit with patience. It is those who are going to be that light that cannot be hid under a basket, that cannot be put under a bed. Those who, having that, are going to receive more and more of God's revelation. And so Jesus in verse 18 says, therefore take heed how you hear. Take heed how you hear. And we read here then in verse 19 in our text that Jesus is interrupted. His mother and his brothers came to him. They couldn't get to him. There's a big crowd there. They can't get through the crowd. So they send a messenger. And it was told him in verse 20, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. We're not told why they came here. Mark alludes to the fact that some of his family members even thought he's out of his mind, we've got to go. Maybe they came to rescue Jesus from the crowds because of all that was being said about him, as if Jesus needs to be rescued. He who can walk past those who want to stone him, who want to throw him off a cliff and go on his way. Nevertheless, here we see that Jesus is not one to waste a teaching illustration or a teaching opportunity. He just continues on. Your mother and brothers are here to see you, and Jesus just continues on teaching. And he uses this as this great illustration. Notice what he says. He answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. He uses this interruption to teach those around him and to teach us about his true family. He teaches this, that true family is a spiritual relationship with Jesus through which we are recognized by him and grow to resemble him. True family is a spiritual relationship with Jesus through which we are recognized by him and grow in resemblance to him. And I want to look at that relationship, that true family, and what it means for us as God's people this morning.
We'll see first our relationship to Jesus as his true family, his recognition of us as true family, and then our resemblance to him as true family. Let's look first at our relationship to Jesus as his true family. Now notice he uses this teaching opportunity. He says this, "My mother and my brothers are these." Who are the these? Well, in Matthew, in chapter 12, verse 49, we're told that Jesus points to his disciples. So you can picture this. His mother and brothers there is in the plural, so it would have included his sisters. They're out there. They've come. And Jesus turns to the crowd and he says, "These, my disciples, these are the ones who I have that relationship with of true family." What we see here is that this relationship is not determined by our natural relationships. We'll see in a moment that Jesus doesn't say that we completely jettison all of our natural relationships. No. But it is not determined by our natural relationships. In fact, being a member of the same biological family does not guarantee that you are going to be part of the same spiritual family. There are those who are biologically related who are not part of the same spiritual family. Perhaps some of them have God as their father, the others Satan. It doesn't guarantee that. In fact, look with me at John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John chapter 1. I want to read for you verses 12 and 13. John here speaking of the Lord Jesus taking on human flesh, coming into the world. Why? What was the result of that? And look in John chapter 1, verse 12. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." It's not of the flesh. It's not who you were born to. One commentator puts it this way, "Family ties are at best temporal. Spiritual ties are eternal." That's why uniting those children to forever families is great. But there's a more important union that needs to happen, isn't there? That spiritual union. And we see in the Old Testament, certainly this was true. Just think of Isaac and Ishmael. Both received the covenant sign, circumcision. Isaac was a believer, Ishmael was not. Think of Jacob and Esau. Jacob was the one chosen. It's true even in the New Testament. Not all who are baptized are saved. Not all who receive the covenant sign. In fact, in John 7, 5, we read that even Jesus' brothers did not believe him. Even his brothers did not believe him. Now, we rightly, biblically, baptize infants. But we do so because they are set apart by God, having been born to at least one believing parent. They are set apart by God to become members of the visible church. But we do not presume that they are regenerate. We do not presume that they are regenerate. We preach the gospel to them because we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But at the same time, we trust God. We trust in His sovereignty. God places children in families, doesn't He? We trust in His sovereignty and we pray. We pray that God, through the means of grace, through the preaching of the word, through the sacraments, through prayer, will bring them to faith in Jesus Christ. But that may not show up. There are many times where a child is raised in the church and they go off. Perhaps you have a child right now that is doing that. I want to speak to you. I want to give you some comfort. Or perhaps it's a parent, brother, sister, somebody you know, who right now is not demonstrating by their life or their confession that they are a Christian. Well, Jesus' brothers did not believe him, did they? But then later on, we see that they came around. In fact, there were his family, his biological family, were in the upper room They even wrote books of the Bible, James and Jude. You don't know what God is going to do. I want to encourage you, for those who have family that right now are not walking with the Lord, I want to encourage you to keep praying, to keep trusting in God, to keep showing the love of Christ to them, because you don't know what God is going to do. Don't give up just because you do not see the fruit yet. Don't give up. God never gives up on His people. This relationship, though, is not determined by our natural relationships. It's not biological, it's spiritual. But this relationship transcends our natural relationships, doesn't it? So Jesus says here, "My mother and my brothers are these." He's not pointing out to His mother and brother who are out there looking for Him. He's pointing to these, my disciples. Transcends them in priority. Jesus says this in Luke 14:26, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life also, cannot be my disciple." Now we're not to read that to say that becoming a Christian requires that you hate your biological family. No. No. It doesn't remove our natural relationships, although it transcends them. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ, even as He was dying on the cross, said to His beloved disciple John, "This is your mother. This is your son." And she went home and lived with him from that time forward. He entrusted John with the care of his mother because he loved his mother. This doesn't divorce us from our natural relationships, but it does transcend them. It transcends them in priority. If anyone comes to me and does not put me first, he cannot be my disciple, even over your own biological family. It transcends them in blessing. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 27, Jesus is spoken to by a woman in the crowd of those that He's been teaching. And here's what she says, Luke chapter 11, verse 27. "And it happened, as He spoke these things, that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to Him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore you, and the breasts which nursed you.' But He said, 'More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.'" Much like He's going to say here in our passage this morning. Those who are my true family, those who are my mothers and brothers, those who are mine are more blessed than even my earthly family. And we know Mary was blessed to be chosen by God in that way. But He says, "Blessed are you when you hear and obey the word of God." It transcends our natural relationships in the priority, in the blessing, and also in the longevity. This relationship is forever. There is no dividing us. There is no taking us out of this family. Earthly families are going to be split at death. Some, they're in different spiritual families, never to see one another again. But those who are in Christ's family, those who are in this family, are in this true family forever. And nothing will separate them from the Lord. Nothing will separate them from one another. So the reality here is that this relationship transcends every other relationship. Everything else that we're involved in is below this. And this is important at this time in our country. I want you to hear this. If allegiance to Christ transcends even our connection to our biological family, and it does, how much more so does our allegiance to Christ transcend every other earthly connection, including political party? It does. It does. Hear this. There are true Christians who are going to vote differently from you. There are true Christians who are going to vote differently probably in every election. It does not make them not Christian. It does not make them not Christian. People can be very confused about a lot of things and still be trusting in Christ alone for salvation. Don't divide on these earthly things that which God is not dividing in heaven. This relationship transcends everything upon this earth. But this relationship also then unites us to the body of Christ's church. Unites us to the body of Christ in His church. Think about how we relate in the church. Now, for some of you, I'm old enough to be your father, and the older I get, the more of you I can say that about. Some of you, I'm still young enough to be your son. Some of you, the rest of you, I guess, brother. But that's why I address you, even in the emails I send out to the church. Dear church family. Dear church family. We have a unity, don't we? It transcends every other relationship. Because we have a unity in Christ. A unity in Christ. Think about this. Every Sunday is a family reunion, in a sense. A family reunion in which we are then looking forward to that great family reunion. When Christ returns, when the dead are resurrected, when we are all together. When we are all together. The reality is that we are spiritually united to Christ. We are one in Him. And Jesus always recognizes His true family. We're related to Him, but He always recognizes us. Our recognition by Jesus as His true family. Jesus knows that we are His true family. He says here, "My mother and my brothers are these. I know them. I know their hearts. I have seen even their sin, and I know that I have covered for it. They are mine." Doesn't He? He knows us because we've been given to Him. It was promised, Psalm 2:8. "Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance." Father speaking to His Son. And Jesus then, in John 6, verse 39, says, "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all He has given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day." We are given to Christ. He knows us. He knows us because He's the good shepherd. John 10:14, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep." There He's recognizing His sheep. "My mother and my brother are these." Are these. I recognize them. He speaks to those who are His true family. We've already seen that in verse 10 of Luke chapter 8. "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to the rest it is given in parables." I'm going to open my heart to you. I'm going to let you peer into the heavenly things and see the truth. This is not a gift that I give to everyone, but only to my true family. You will see and know. John 10:27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear," what? "My voice." My voice. He identifies. He knows us. He speaks to us. He identifies with us as true family. In fact, we're told in Hebrews 2, chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, that He is not ashamed to call us brethren. Now think about that. Sinners that we are, He's not ashamed to call us brethren. No, He is not. He suffered on the cross for His people, and He suffers with His people even now. As we suffer, He is there with us. He is with us in the valley of the shadow of death. Therefore, we fear no evil. This true family has ramifications for how we live our life. And think about this. Jesus knows you better than you know yourself if you are in Him. He recognizes you as His family. "My mother and my brother are these." Are these. Just as Jesus recognizes us as family, we ought to be able to recognize that we are family. We ought to be recognizing that others, as we are in church with them, are family. But how do we do that? Well, the way that we do that is we see a family resemblance. If we are part of His true family, we will look like our family, won't we? We look like our family. Now, I want you to hear this. We don't hear, see, this is what Jesus says, "My mother and my brothers are these, those who I have a relationship with that transcends every earthly relationship, those who I recognize because they have been given me by my Father from before the foundation of the world. These are mine." These are mine who hear the word of God and do it. It's important that you hear this. We don't hear and obey in order to get into the family of God. We don't hear and obey in order to stay in the family of God. We hear and obey because we are already and will always remain in the family of God. You see the difference? Understand that difference. You know, people don't go and say, well, let's see what you look like to see if you can remain in this family or that family. Oh, you look like this family, let me put you there. No, you're in the family already, and then you resemble the family. So it is with our walk. We see then our resemblance to Jesus as His true family. We resemble Jesus as those who hear God's Word. Do you love to hear God's Word? Do you love to hear it preached? Do you love to read it? Do you cherish it? If it was taken away from you, what difference would that make in your life? Would it make a difference at all? Love to hear the Word. The answer to that question, do you love to read God's Word and hear it preached, or do you find it a burden, really says a lot about your heart. Jesus says here, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the Word of God. Jesus loved to hear His Father's voice, didn't He? We ought to love to hear our Father's voice as well. Those who resemble Jesus hear His Word. Those who resemble Jesus as true family also obey His Word. These are my family who hear the Word of God and do it. Jesus came to do the will of His Father in heaven, and He did it perfectly. And His righteousness is imputed to us. We have no fear of condemnation any longer, but His Spirit is given to us, and that Spirit is working in us to conform us to the image of Christ. If He came to do the will of His Father in heaven, how much more should we, who are being conformed to His image, who are called even by His name, Christian means little Christ or disciples of Christ, how much should we then also desire to obey? And this obedience to the law of God is not simply for Christians. It's for all men. All men are under the duty to obey God. Simply as creatures, as those created in God's image. All men are bound to obey God, but believers have a double duty. Not only are we as creatures to obey God, but we as those who have been redeemed. Not only as creatures, but as children. We have a duty to our Heavenly Father. The Greek text here, these who hear the Word of God and do it are in the present tense. These who are hearing the Word of God and are doing it. This is not, I heard the Word of God and I did it once, but this is my life's pattern. This is what I do. I live. It is Christ who lives in me. Therefore, the life I now live, I live unto Him. And obedience should be our desire. Now, do we always desire it as we ought? No. We have that sin dwelling in us that often pulls us away. But God is working in us by His Spirit. We ought to desire to do this. But we will find it difficult. You're going to find it difficult. I probably don't have to tell you this. You'll find it difficult to obey. We have a lot of opponents. The world, the flesh, and the devil. We are at a war with our own flesh. But Jesus says, take up your cross daily. Often we find ourselves with Paul saying this. Paul, Romans 7:24, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? The only answer is Christ. But we press on. We know that everything that we do, done by faith in Christ, is not in vain in the Lord. We know that it is not in vain. We know that a crown of victory awaits us. We know that our obedience is guaranteed. Now, a little bit, then perfectly. What does God say? He says that He is the one who is working in us both to will and to do. Both to will and to do, Philippians 2:13. So we resemble Jesus not in order to become part of His true family, but because we already are part of His true family. And I want you to be encouraged by that. Because I was encouraged again when I worked at the adoption and foster care company. I was encouraged every time when I saw a child get a forever family. Wow. Especially a child who had been through much difficulty. Who had been through a very bad family situation. And then to see the joy on their faces as they enter into that forever family. But as a pastor, I want you to have a greater joy. Hear me in this. As you come to Christ, as you trust to Him by faith alone, you understand that God has called you in Christ into a true family, into a family that even death cannot take you out of, into a family that you will be able to enjoy here on the earth now, as we are today, and eternity in the new heavens and the new earth. So be encouraged. If you are trusting in Christ today, if you, through that faith, that gift of God, by God's grace, are united to Christ, He knows you. He loves you. He speaks to you. He says of you, "These are my family. These are my mother and brethren." And the reality is that from that, then, grow in likeness to your Savior. Because that will be true of you. You will desire to be like Him. You will want to resemble your true family, and God will work that in you. You will begin to love the Word of God. You will desire to hear it preached. You'll desire to hear it read. You will desire to put it into practice in your life. You will hear the call to repent of sin, and you will repent of your sin. You'll turn from it. You will hear then the call to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for justification, and you will believe. You will hear the call to forsake all of your own righteousness, all of your own works, and you'll confess your need of the Savior. And then you will hear that call from God as your Heavenly Father to be holy as I am holy. And you will obey it by God's grace. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, we thank You that through no merit of our own, You have called us, elected us, adopted us, You have made us into Your children. You have brought us into that relationship in which we find true family. Thank You, God, for that. Thank You, Jesus, that You know us, that You are the Good Shepherd, that You speak to us, that You guide us. Help us now to resemble You, to resemble that family into which we have been called. Help us to be those who hear Your Word. And not only hear Your Word, but do it. Oh, thank You, God, that You are working this in us. Now be pleased to do it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.